Good to see you.
I was reminded that I have another How Is Jesus Real? So I wanted to start that off here. Friday, we're uptown, running around, picking up some stuff, and we were leaving Fred Meyer. Went to the exit. We were behind a Ford Escape, who had edged out into the sidewalk. No big deal. And there was a lot of traffic. So this lady, we sat there probably 2 minutes when there was a bicycle coming down the sidewalk. And this lady thought it would be nice if she were to back up a little bit to give the bicycles some room. But she forgot to check her mirrors. So, yes, it's all in slow motion. And it's like, I could see it. It's like, it's not going fast enough to hurt us. And it's only a car. It's only a car. So, yes, she hit us right smack in the middle, right at the license plate. So I couldn't even claim it wasn't my side because it was the middle side. So, yeah, her car got munched up, grill got broken, and a couple scratches and dents. But, you know, we're alive and we're uninjured, so a car is just a car. But, yes, God protected us. All right, if you want to take notes, you can name this. We are living in awesome and mighty days. Who woke up this morning? You know, if you died in your sleep, you could be actually excused from living in these awesome days that we're experiencing right now, okay? You're going to have your own sense of awesomeness. But for us who actually woke up this morning and I am planning on waking up tomorrow, we are going to be living in just some wonderful days. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 22. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for yourself, for himself. So you realize that when you went to bed last night as a good Christian, you had a covenant with God. And he calls you his son, his daughter. You woke up this morning, and God still loves you. You are still his son and his daughter. And tomorrow, when you wake up, you are still his son and his daughter because you have a covenant. God has made a covenant, and he will not break that covenant. Now, tomorrow, you may get up and say, I want a day off from being God's son. Well, you may make that choice, and God's not going to make you not make that choice. But he is going to say, no matter what you do, I have a covenant with you. I love you. And then after you slap yourself silly, you're going to say, what was I thinking? And you're going to say, I am a son, I am a daughter of God, I am a son of the Most High God, and yes, I belong to him. But it's a wonderful thing to know that God loves you enough that even if you mess up, he still loves you. Mm-hmm. Has anybody ever had parents? Well, I'm making a point here. I just want to make sure everybody's listening. Now, out of all those people that just raised your hands, was there any time in your life that you may have made a wrong decision that maybe your parents were not very happy with? That maybe when your dad came home or your mom came home, you didn't really want to look them in the eyes, okay? I am probably the only one that does not apply to. My mother says I was perfect. And I'm going to continue to let her think that. No, but no matter what you do, God loves you. He may take you to the woodshed, but he is not going to change his covenant with you, his commitment to you. You will always be his chosen people. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. You know what? Have you guys ever felt that you have just been taken and beaten up? You've been left for dead. You have been so abused that there's just no coming back. But God has not forsaken you. You know, Judy, you woke up this morning and God said, you're my A number one favorite person named Judy Howell. That's my daughter. Exactly. I'm his favorite Rick Kennedy. And this is his favorite son, Mike Hart. Now, and this may be the case, I don't know, but Bill Gates may be his favorite son, Bill Gates. But he's not going to think more highly of Bill Gates than he does Mike Hart, because there's a few more zeros in his bank account. So yes, he does love us, he does have that commitment, and he will never turn his back on us. No matter what we do, he is always there. So, now, July 5th, 2015, today, you may take a look around, you, your family, but let's expand it out, your church family, let's expand it out, your city, your town, your county, your state, your country. Let's just include the whole world. If you were to look around, you may say, we are really messed up. And you're probably right. We are totally messed up. We have countries that are going bankrupt. Have you heard about the national debt of the United States, which is, what is it, like 17 trillion now? 18 trillion? On its way to 20 trillion? I don't care how you slice a pie. Once you get past like a billion pieces of pie, it's really small. And you're talking about $18 trillion, okay? We need a bigger pie. We do have nations rising up against nations. We have Russia that's threatening the Baltic states. We have other issues. We're negotiating with Iran. Who would have ever thought 10 years ago that we would be sitting at the table with Iran, actually talking with them? We have this little group called ISIS. And they're not very nice people. I don't know if you guys have been following the news. They're not very nice. But they threaten to destroy anything that is not pure Islam in their sight. They blow up churches. They blow up historical sites. They openly execute Christians and those who say no to Islam. Well, that's my next line. No, it's okay. Actually, it's two sentences away. They enjoy throwing gays off of the roofs of tall buildings, and they enjoy murdering children. And they threaten to destroy Israel and the Western world. But fortunately, America is there. America has always stood up for the little guy. Has always stood up for the weak guy. So, Instead of calling it as it is, we have decided to appease. And our attempts include, hey, don't hurt us. We're no longer a Christian nation. You hear that? We're not going to push our Christian beliefs. In fact, we are not even Christians anymore. We now leave the lands and the peoples to fend for themselves. And we stand by, focused in on what the latest movie is. Hey, it's basketball season. No, basketball just finished. It's baseball season. Great. Football's coming up. Great. What's my favorite actor doing? What's my favorite actress doing? Well, we stand idly by, and we don't even watch the brutality. How about this? The last month, we've seen the Supreme Court rule Obamacare is here. We're not talking Obamacare. It is a polarizing thing. You're either for it, you're against it. But now, it is the law of the land. And we have gay marriage. It's also the law of the land. If you're for it, great. If you're against it, great. It is here. We've also had a black church that's been shot up and 9 people have killed. And instead of focusing on the causes, we focus on a flag, a historical flag. Again, if it's, you know, if you believe the flag of the Confederacy caused the problems, great. If you don't, great. I think there's something more to it than just a flag, but that's my own personal belief and opinion. But we get so focused on what we want to focus on. We don't want to see our own inadequacies. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, you know, how can you take care of somebody's splinter in their eye when you have a log in your own eye? Yes, absolutely. But, you know, the flag controversy doesn't end at the Confederacy flag. There's also some people that want to do away with the American flag because it is a sign of oppression. It's a flag. And then we're totally messed up, even in the church. We have Christians that are openly calling for God's judgment upon America. Now, I am not one of those that want to see God's judgment. Do I think it's coming at some point? Yes. But I'm not going to be praying for it, okay? I've read the Old Testament, and God's judgment is not pretty. There's, in one night after David counted the men, 100,000 men died in one night. Cities rise, cities fall. And yet, we should be prepared for God's judgment, but we shouldn't be asking for it either. Which all brings me to my message. I want to start in Psalms 91. We won't read the whole thing, but I want to touch some of these. Did I give you that one? Did I skip a couple? Whole chapter, yep. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Now that one right there. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. No, we'll come back to that. We'll go ahead and go. I will say, O Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or by the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. I like that verse. Yeah. It gives reason to hope, right? Yeah. All right, verse 8. You will only look on your eyes, look on it with your eyes, and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. We're going to stop right there. And let's go back to verse 1. I'm making you work today. I'm making you earn your big paycheck as a volunteer. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So right there, here we have a choice. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, whoever dwells with God, whoever hangs out with God, whoever... Anybody ever been invited to a party at the cool person's house? You know, maybe when you're in high school, and you always said, "Ah, oh, that John is just so cool." Or maybe you ladies are saying, "Oh, if I could just hang out with Samantha." I'm picking out names that aren't here. If I could only pick out or hang out with Samantha, man, I would be so nice. There is a John. Oh, there you go. See. And then that day comes, and you get invited to Samantha's house or John's house, and you go, and the party is just totally awesome. It makes you awesome just by association, right? Because, Billy, he wasn't invited to John's house, but you were. Billy asked, "Hey, Rick, where are you going?" "Oh, I'm going to John's house." "Whoa, I've never been to John's house." "Well, you know, John and I are like this." "We're like this." "I've had my invitation for..." "Billy, you didn't get an invitation?" You know, everybody that is anybody is going to be at John's house. Wasn't high school great? But, see, I built you up, John. Now, after you're out of high school for a few years, I'll pick on Samantha. Now that you and Samantha have been out of school for a while, you realize that Samantha's just a loser. Why was I ever thinking that Samantha was cool? See, I saved you there, okay? But here... God says, whoever dwells in the shadow or the shelter of the Most High, you get to hang out with God, okay? Yeah. And, you know, John may invite you over just because he feels sorry for you or he needs someone to clean up the pizza boxes afterwards. But God's not going to do that. He says, come on in. He's going to set you at the head table. And you get to hang out with him, okay? But whoever dwells will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Have you ever wondered what the shadow of the Almighty is? That is actually point one. What is the shadow of the Almighty? We need to do some research on that, okay? Yeah. Let's go to James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Okay, the Father of lights. So we put all the stars in the sky, and he gives us light bulbs. Gave me a flashlight. With whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. I have a really good flashlight. It's called a Maglite. And the problem is that very good for knocking heads. Yes, I've actually smacked myself with my flashlight once. It's like, where is that thing? Clunk. Okay. But my Maglite has this problem. The bulb is starting to go bad. So there's always a shadow right in the middle. I'm walking around like an eclipse of the moon. So it's really bright around the edges. So that's probably not a good example of of God in his shadows, okay? Let's go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So I was trying to think of a good example of what this would be. So my flashlight was not, I thought, well, you know, I could bring a light with a light bulb because it gives off light. And there's no shadow in there. You keep the shade off, and it goes until it hits something, and there's a shadow. But then I decided that it has a base, so it doesn't give shadow off everywhere. So the light bulb was out. I was thinking, and all of a sudden, the sun. The sun is the perfect example of God. Because there's no base, there's no string holding it up to cast a shadow. God just put it up there, okay? So that is God. He is light. There's no darkness. He radiates 360 degrees light. So what is the shadow of the Almighty? I think we found it in Acts chapter 5 and verse 15. To such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one of them. So, you were sick? Judy, your dog is sick. Peter's walking down the street, and you love your dog. So you take the dog and you lay it in the street so that the shadow may touch. Well, there is no power in a shadow, okay? It's inanimate. It's not living. We all have shadows. So it's not the shadow that falls upon him that heals the dog or heals the sick. It is the fact that God's power was so great and emanating that if you were within a shadow's distance, that God was just going to touch you. If you were close to God and his anointing, he was going to change your life. That's what the shadow of the Almighty is, staying close to God. So the rest of the chapter of Psalms 91 are promises. If you stay close to God, these are the things that are going to be happening. I recently heard two different stories. One was a U.S. captain in World War I. He had an infantry company of 300 men, and he actually made them memorize Psalms 91. And he would say, Private Judy, I want you to give me Psalms 91, verse 1. And you'd have to say that. And then he'd say, Private Kazmar, give me verse 2. And you'd pick up and go with verse 2. And then he'd say, Private Scott, give me verse 5. And they'd have to know where the verses are, and he'd go, and they would recite it. So at the end of the war, this infantry company, even though they had been in war, they had been in battle, their casualties were zero, which is pretty amazing. Yeah. World War I was not a fun place to be. I also heard that during Vietnam, a U.S. Special Forces colonel took over a group that had been experiencing heavy casualties, and he also made them learn and memorize and stand on Psalms 91. And even though they had experienced high casualties, they went down to zero casualties until he left. And then they went back to high casualties. So as that colonel was there, their casualties dropped, even though they were doing the same battle, same war. So, you know, that was interesting. Second point is found in Psalms chapter 119 and verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I will not sin against you. So hide God's word in our hearts. Hide it, memorize it, recite it. We already know what the shadow is. Now we hide his word in our hearts. Point number three is found in verses 49 through 50. Remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, that your word has revived me. We find that God's word brings hope. Third point. Fourth point. It's found in verse 105. God's word brings direction. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's hard to walk in the dark on paths that you do not know, right? Sometimes in the dark, even if you go the same path, you still stumble. Have you done that too? You get up in the middle of the night, you have to use the restroom, and though you walk the path 10,000 times in the dark, there's always something there to trip on. And let's go to verses 140 and 150. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. So we find that God's word is both true and pure, and it is everlasting. God's word does not change. He doesn't get up and say, shouldn't have had those anchovies yesterday. I said a few things I shouldn't have said. I'm going to have a rebuttal today. I'm going to clarify my statements. No, God doesn't have bad days. He doesn't get up and say, that's it. Cowlitz County is gone. They are banished. They are the scourge of Washington. They are the armpit. They are the armpit of Washington State. Nope, God says that I love him, and he's faithful. I'm going to finish early, I'm sorry. But in conclusion, God promises to watch over his people. That's a pretty broad statement, right? God promises to watch over his people. Now, when you got up this morning, you looked in the mirror, did you realize that we are his people? You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Now, if we could say that God watches over his people, and then you look in the mirror and you say that you are his son and daughter, would you say that God watches over you? Is it fair to say that God watches over me? Whom shall I fear? You know, there's, at the beginning, I was telling you about work, and there was some real concern there that we would be laid off and outsourced. I've never been laid off, okay? I don't want to be laid off. I don't want to be outsourced. But the same God that was in control in February is still in control today. He's still on the throne. And in September, if things happen and we were to be laid off, he's still the same God, okay? And he's still watching out for us. He's still watching out for me. He's still watching out for my family. He's still watching out for you and your families. And the unsaved that you have in your family that you've been praying for, I believe that he's going to bring them into the kingdom, okay? So before we turn this back over to the pastor, I want to know and pray with you if you are concerned about what you're going through, what you read in the newspaper, what you watch on the news. You know, are you concerned about the future? Are you concerned about your family? And you don't even have to raise your hands, because everybody is concerned about something. So I just want to pray, and then I'm going to hand it off to the pastor. And I'm confident in saying that we will be out of here before 1 o'clock. All right, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you love us, that you have made a covenant with us, a covenant that does not change. You've called us sons and daughters, and that you sent your only begotten Son to die for us, to receive stripes upon his back, and then to tell us, by these stripes you are healed. And Lord, we thank you that you direct our paths, and you said that you appoint leaders. So Lord, you're taking care of all of it. You even said that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. There's nothing more for me to be concerned with. So Lord, I ask that you would take our concerns. We give them to you. There's nothing we can do about our concerns. We give them to you. We give them to our source. We give them to our rock. We give them to the God that says, I am. I am your God. I am your provider. I am. You are, I am. So Lord, we give them to you, and we rejoice in your peace and comfort, and we wait expectantly for you to work everything out in your timing and in your way, and to show yourself mighty and show yourself faithful. So Lord, we thank you for that and ask that as we go through this day and those concerns may want to creep up, that you just give us a spiritual fly swatter that we can knock them out, Lord. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you that our futures are wrapped up and in the hands of a loving God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Because of that, we are going to, that confidence that we have in our God, we're going to bring these requests to him together. And are there any pink prayer requests?